Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And this morning, we are going to consider the history of a man named Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and his life, the history of Lot's life is actually one of a backslider. And primarily this morning, I'm going to be speaking to saints of God, members of Plaque Road Baptist Church, but there are applications certainly for all of us here this morning. And let me give you, just for the sake of time, a little bit of background here on the man named Lot. Lot, again, as I said, was the nephew of Abraham. He was with Abraham for quite some time. Their families grew, their herds grew, their cattle grew, and they got to be quite a band of people. And there was contention that began to spring up between, Lot's herdsmen, Abraham's herdsmen, and so on. And it came to the point where they needed to separate. And we'll pick it up here in a little bit here of what happened. But Lot decided, Abraham gave him a choice. You can go wherever you want. You go whatever way, I'll go the other way. We need to depart. Lot, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes. And he looked around, and he looked on the well-watered plains of Jordan, the Bible says. And he said, I choose to go that way. And the motive behind that was, it's going to benefit me. It's going to profit me. I'm going to gain because my herds and my cattle will have plenty. And the Bible says that he looked on the well-watered plains of Jordan. He turned away from Abraham. But Lot made a critical error. That critical error wouldn't just affect his own life, but it would destroy the life of his family. He chose those well-watered plains of Jordan because he was seeking to make good for himself. He was following his eyes and he was following his sinful heart rather than seeking after righteousness and godliness. His motives were wrong. And when he sought his own interests, he destroyed his testimony among the people that he eventually was a part of. But even more importantly, he destroyed his own testimony with his family. His failure would destroy his own life. And it wasn't simply because, let me step back. Lot didn't actually die because of his failure. But if it wasn't for the fact that God was merciful and gracious to him, he would have. He belonged to the Lord, and because he belonged to the Lord, God's mercy and grace was given to him, and it spared him, but he lost his family. And I want us to look this morning at the history of Lot just in a nutshell and make some applications for us and for our lives today, all right? We're going to begin reading in chapter 19, and we'll read through pretty much the whole chapter, all right? The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. So by the way, when Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan, among the plains were these cities of the plains. Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities were part of the plains. And Lot ended up not just pitching his tent toward Sodom, but Lot ended up living in Sodom. All right? And so the cry and the wickedness of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and God said that he was going to destroy those cities. And so verse 1 says, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down,
The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That word know is a Hebrew word that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean I just want to get to know you as a person. That word is a term that is used for sexual gratification. All right? And so that's what they're talking about here. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, So here's the angel speaking to Lot. And they said, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall be saved, or shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. What they're saying is they don't have a man to help them bear children. So verse 32, Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. What a sad, sad story is the life of this man named Lot. And I want us to do a brief overview and make some applications for us today. And again, Lot and his story and his history is one of a backslider. One who had all kinds of potential, but he made some critical errors that cost him dearly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Father, would you give your grace now as we open up your word? Father, would you speak to hearts? Father, would you control what is said and done this morning, that you might be glorified? In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want to point out to you is regarding Lot, and where did all this start? How did Lot end up this way? Well, he ended up this way because of choices that he made prior to this. And I want you to see the choice that Lot made and the devastating effects that that choice had later on. And we'll walk through this. But let's begin by understanding the choice that he made. Turn back to chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Genesis, and look with me at verse 10 and following. The Bible says, And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So Lot lifts up his eyes here, and he sees that, man, this is a pleasant land. It's well watered. There's grass, and there's food for my cattle, and it's just a land of blessing. Even as the garden of the Lord, he said, the comparison is like to the Garden of Eden. Verse 11, then Lot chose him. Look, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want you to note the choice that Lot made. Lot chose the plain of Jordan. The Bible says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched his tent. So what he did was he set his house up and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He opened up his doors toward the wickedness of Sodom. He was lured by what he could gain in the well-watered plains. And on purpose, he opened up his life to the wicked influences of those people in that city. That was the choice that he made. And let me make an application here. Those who walk by sight and not by faith will always be influenced by appearances rather than godliness. Listen, let's make application to everyday life. I'm primarily talking to God's people, saved people, and the choices that we make. When we walk by sight and not by faith, we're always going to be influenced by appearances and what things look like and what we can gain rather than godliness. You know, this job that might come up for me. Here's an opportunity to make, $20,000 more a year if I take this job. I'm looking at the appearance of it and what could be, rather than considering what is godly. Well, what about this job? Is that a good idea? What is it going to do for my family? Is it going to take my family out of the good influences that I have, that they have right now? Is it going to cause me to have to forsake the Lord in some way, or to draw me away from the Lord somehow? Well, it's $20,000. extra. Think of what we could do with that. Walking by sight and not by faith. That's kind of what Lot did. He chose the well-watered plains for what he could gain out of it, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom, opening up his life to the wicked influences of those people. What about relationships? Well, this person, you know, they really love me. This person is just, they really are sweet and they're really kind and they really love me. And as a saint of God, you know, that's a great thing to have somebody who really loves you, who's really sweet and kind, but are they saved? Do they know Jesus Christ as their Savior? When the Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because we don't think the same, we don't act the same, we don't walk the same. But yet so often people are lured in by the appearance. Well, it seems harmless. It seems like it's a good thing. It seems like it may even potentially be beneficial. But in doing so, it'll take us away from the positive, godly influences in the life that would open us up to potentially negative influences. And that is a big, big mistake. That's what Lot did when he chose to leave Abraham for what looked like the well-watered, materially beneficial plains of Jordan. His choice, little did he know at the time, but that choice right there opened up his life to new avenues and new influences that ultimately took him away from God, and it destroyed his family. The choices we make are critical. And we can't walk by sight. We need to walk by faith. We need to make choices. Listen, we need to make choices in life that are toward godliness. That is the only way that we're going to be blessed and the only way we're going to be secure. We cannot intentionally choose to walk away from Bible principle and expect that it's all going to be okay. It's important. Secondly, I want you to note with me the influence that these choices had on his life. The influence that these choices had. Go back to chapter 19. So we note the choice that he made, but now let's see the influence that these choices had. In chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, what do we find? Okay, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and where is Lot? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, what did chapter 13 say about Lot? That he went out into the well-watered plains. And where did he pitch his tent? He pitched his tent toward Sodom, didn't he? He didn't go into Sodom. He was outside in the plain, but he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Where is Lot now? He's living in Sodom. You see the change that's already occurred? The change that's already happened? He first pitched his tent toward Sodom, but then it lured him closer till now he lives in and sits in the gates of the wicked. He not only became a companion of them by living among them, but now he has partnered with the wickedness of Sodom. I want you to look at how this influenced and affected his thinking. Now, Lot was one way when he was with Abraham. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But now he's living in Sodom. And I want you to see how this wicked influence in his life affected the way that he was thinking. Look in verse 4. All right? So we know that these angels came and Lot said, "You got to come to my house." And they said, "No, we're going to abide in the street." And he said, "No way, Jose." Why did he say that? Because he knew what was going to happen because he lived in Sodom. And he says, "No, you guys don't want to stay out in the street. You got to come to my house." Now we'll get to verse 4 though. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot." So everybody's coming from the entire city here, from every quarter. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, listen, he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. They're virgins. He said, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they unto the... I can't even hardly read this. I'm talking about how he's thinking. Look at the influence that this wickedness had had on Lot. Here he says, I'm going to offer up my two innocent, sweet daughters, and you do whatever you want to them. Are you kidding me? See how warped his thinking is? Because of this wicked influence that he let into his life, it changed the way that he saw things and how he thought. And he would rather offer up his sweet, innocent daughters, and maybe they weren't so sweet. But he said, they've not known a man. You just take them. You do whatever you want to them. And we know how wicked these people were. It's awful. This is the influence that his choice had on his life. When a Christian can find pleasure in the fellowship of the ungodly, he will soon become a sharer in their iniquity. Let me say it again. When a Christian can find fellowship and pleasure in the influence of the ungodly, it won't be long, and all of those influences now will become part of my life. You can't mess with fire and not get burned. You've heard that saying before, right? You can't, and the Bible says you can't take coals unto your bosom and not be burned. And the admonition for the saint of God is, listen, don't have any part of the wicked influence of the world. When we invite it into our life and we can have fellowship with ungodliness and wickedness, it won't be long and it will change us and we'll become a sharer in the iniquity. The desire to be accepted by people is a huge influence in the life. People all want to be accepted. And, you know, and I can see a scenario where, you know, a guy is at his job and he wants to be liked by his fellow workmates and so on. And they say, hey, come on, let's go out, let's go drinking. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Oh, come on, what are you, goody two-shoes? Oh, come on, just one little one. And over time, that continual influence and the desire to be liked and to be accepted then causes the man to let down his standard a little bit. And, oh, I'll just go with you, but I'm not going to drink anything. Bad mistake. Because in time, those influences keep pulling and drawing and drawing and pulling. And we make one concession after another. Well, I'll just do this. Well, okay, I'll just do this. And it's not a big deal. Until we're swallowed up. That's what happened to Lot. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now he's living in Sodom. And now, not only is he living in Sodom and a companion with him, now he's a partaker with them. And he's offering up his own daughters to their own wickedness. I guarantee you, Lot never intended for that to happen when he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. It only leads to shame, those compromises. You know, I have those same experiences in my own life. Compromise because of wanting to be accepted, that led to bad choices, that led to a bad testimony, that led to guilt, that led to shame, that led to chastening of the Lord, and it ended in humiliation, all because of choices and a desire to be accepted and a not willingness to stand on godliness. Those choices influenced my life. I just heard the other day of a person that I know who, when they were young, had everything going for them. Great opportunity in a good church, a good home, lots of good influences. And they had an opportunity to make a good career move. And so they left the influences that were good for this good career move and moved to the city. And there in the city, it all seemed to be okay for a while. But I just heard and just found out recently that that person, because of the influences of that way of living, the glitz and the glam of city life, began to influence this person's life. And now this person's not even going to church anymore. Before, professions of faith and godliness and everything seemed to be good. But because of some choices, now they're not even going to church anymore. It's sad. Not only that, but there's an unsaved man for a relationship with this person. All things that this person said they would never do. And what I'm saying, child of God, is mixing with the world and worldly people will always influence our life away from righteousness. And it affects our mind, it affects our thinking, it affects our heart, and it ultimately affects our love for God. Don't make the mistake. Look at verses 12 and 13. So that's the influence that it had. But verses 12 and 13. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Here's the message that Lot received. Here's the message. The Lord was going to destroy this place. Question, what was Lot going to lose here? Well, basically, he was going to lose all of his material life. Because Sodom is where he invested his life. Are you with me here? God was going to destroy this place and everything and everyone. And he was going to lose all of his material life because that's where he invested his life. He has the chance here to save his family. But everything else, he's going to lose. Why? Because he put himself in a position that he should have never been in the first place. Listen, wicked places, wicked things, in the end, they're all going to be destroyed. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. God has declared it. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. 2 Peter 3 in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Here God says that one day the heavens are going to pass away. This earth is going to be burned up in all of its works. It's going to be destroyed. Wickedness, wicked things, wicked places, that's all going to be destroyed. But let me ask you this question. If all your wicked things were destroyed, would you lose anything? Or would you lose everything? Lot was going to lose everything because he invested his life there. How would it affect your plans and the purposes of your life? The point I'm trying to make here is if our heart and if our interests are entangled with this world, ultimately, we're going to suffer loss. The Bible teaches us to set our affections on things above, not on the temporal things of this earth, because they're going to pass away, the material. But I want you to go back with me to Genesis 19, and I want you to note with me the testimony that Lot had in Genesis 19. So here, he made some choices. It influenced his life. It affected his thinking. He got a message from the Lord that this is going to be destroyed. He listens to this message and he wants to obey, but I want you to note the testimony that he had. Look at verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what that means? He seemed as somebody who was joking, somebody who didn't make any sense, and you're like, yeah, we can't take you seriously. That's what he seemed like to his sons-in-law. He's saying, you got to get out of this wicked place. God's going to destroy it. And they're like, okay, Lot, whatever you say. That's the testimony that Lot had. Listen, our testimony for God as a saint of God will always be a mockery to others if we're living a selfish life. Let me say it again. Our testimony will always be a mockery to others if we're living a selfish life. Let me make this real critical application. Parents of children, why in the world would our children grow to have convictions about obeying principles from God's Word and loving God with all of their heart if they don't see it in their parents? The choices you and I make as parents are so critical in how it affects the lives of our children. If we say to our children, look, you need to get saved. You need to love God. You need to serve God with all of your life. If we say those things, or they hear it from the pulpit and they hear it, you know, in their church and in their Sunday school and all of that, and then they go home and they see a difference in their parents are not doing the same thing, why in the world would they grow to love God themselves? That testimony of, you need to love God with all of your heart, you need to get saved, like, whatever. Why do I need that? Are you hearing me? Our testimony is so, so vital. And it will always be a mockery if we're living a selfish life. What about our testimony to the unsaved? You work with people who need the Lord. Why would they see a need of salvation if they don't see a difference between them and you? Maybe you speak the same way at times. You know, you smash your thumb with a hammer and let out a bunch of expletives and curse words. Maybe you laugh at the same dirty jokes that they tell. Ha, 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 ha. You see what's happened with Donald Trump in the news? And the perverted things that he's saying. And here in the background, you hear these people ha, 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 laughing at the same disgusting things. If you're a saint of God, a child of God, and that was a part of your life, partaking of the same lifestyle, what if you went to them and said, you need to get saved. You need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ. How would they react? You with me? Would you see him as one that mocked? What I'm saying is, there's no amount of earnestness, there's no amount of eloquence or speech that will make up for inconsistency in life. It's the life, it's what people see, it's how you live, it's not the words that you say. It's what your kids see and what they know to be true, not what you say. Lot had an awful testimony with his children. He says, God's going to destroy this place. And they're like, okay, whatever, Lot. It's his fault. The testimony that he had, the testimony that he made, was a terrible one. I want you to note with me quickly the reluctance that he showed. Look at verses 16 and 17. And while he lingered, so here God says he's going to destroy it. The angel is like, you got to get out of here. And what is he doing? And while he lingered, The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Man, look how bad this had gotten for Lot. Not only did he pitch his tent toward Sodom, and now he's living in Sodom. It's completely affected the way that he thinks. He knows that God is going to destroy this place. And what is he doing? He's still lingering. Instead of running for his life, even with the knowledge of destruction, he still couldn't let go. And you know, we are always slow to obey the call of God when our lives have been entangled with the grip of this world. But let me make this application. This is so true in the lives of people who need to be saved, the unsaved. The same principle is true. Even with the knowledge of certain destruction, some people just can't let go. You know what the Bible teaches? There may be some here this morning who are not saved. You may have heard the gospel many times, how you need to confess your sin, repent of your sin, and trust in Christ, but you haven't done it yet. And you know what the end result is. A person who goes out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But you don't have to. But even with the knowledge of certain destruction, you won't let go. Why? When our lives have been gripped and entangled with the things of this world, it's a trap that it's hard to get out of. Look in Matthew chapter 19 with me. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? So Jesus is speaking to this rich young ruler. And Jesus says, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here was an opportunity for this guy to have eternal life. Here he is talking to the Savior himself, and Jesus is giving him instruction. And Jesus knew what the problem was with this guy. He knew what his real issue was. And Jesus said, Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. There was something he could not let go of. And that is so true with people who need the Lord, who resist and who resist and who resist and who resist. There's something that they're not willing to let go of. Even with the knowledge of certain destruction. That was Lot. He couldn't let go of this life, this influence, this wickedness. He couldn't let go of it. And it cost him. And it cost him dearly. The grip of sin and self and control over our own life is one that is not easily broken. And there's all kinds of people who go out into eternity perishing in the flames of hell in full light of the knowledge of God's judgment because they just wouldn't let go and yield to God. And let me say to you this morning who are not saved, you need to escape for your life. You need to tarry not, like these angels said to Lot. You need to come to Christ. In verses 18 to 22 of our text, I'll just quickly move through this here. These men told him to leave the city, to get out, to flee to the mountains. And what does Lot say? He says in verse, let me get there. In verse 18, and Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight." And he's saying, "Thank you for saving my life and all of that, but I can't go to the mountain lest some evil take me and die." He says, "Behold now, this city is near. Let me flee unto it. It's just a little one." You see what Lot's doing here? Number one, he couldn't let go. But now, instead of fleeing for his life and obeying the full command, he's like, "Well, what if I just go over here? Is that good enough?" And that's like a Christian, that's like a saint of God who's been saved from their sin, but they're not willing to separate unto God completely. They always want to be hanging around the line of worldliness and worldly things. That's what Lot did. You know, the world's fashions and the world's dress and the world's music and the world's entertainments and all those things are just drawn to it, and we're always just hanging around the line. Why would we do that when those influences are going to destroy our life? But I want you to note with me, verses 22 and 20 to 25. "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Note here the favor. In spite of his wickedness, in spite of his backsliding, the favor that he enjoyed. Here God was still being merciful to Lot. He said, "I can't do anything until you're gone." What a merciful and gracious God. Judgment couldn't fall until he was outside of Sodom. Until he came out from among them, the work of God was being hindered. But think further in your own life. How are the work of God and the purpose of God, how is it being hindered, or could it be being hindered, in the lives of other people by the way that you and I live? Are we hindering God's work because of some worldliness or worldly mindedness? Could our life be hindering the salvation of one because of the way that we live? What about our children coming to know Jesus Christ? Ultimately, and I'll finish with this, Lot endured all kinds of shame. We read the last verses here of chapter 19, verses 26 through 38. What ended up happening? Lot lost his wife. She looked behind. His influence in her life, caused her and the influences to be even more overwhelming in her life. She couldn't let go, and she looked behind, and she turned into a pillar of salt. That would have never happened if Lot hadn't been in that position. So he loses his wife. Apparently, he loses his other daughters and his sons-in-laws. And all he's got left is two daughters with him. And he goes up into the mountains, and what do they do? They end up sleeping with their father and becoming pregnant by their father. You see how his choice and the influence that it brought about affected and devastated his family? He lost his wife because she couldn't let go. The minds of his daughters are so perverted now that they would come up with a plan like this and then see it through. Where did all that come from? It came from Lot making a choice to open up his life and pitch his tent toward Sodom. Let me ask you this question. Where are you pitching your tent toward, saint of God? Is all well between you and God in your spiritual life right now? Ask yourself the question. Is all well between you and God in your spiritual life? What we see in Lot is the devastating effects of worldliness. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet saved. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. I say to you, flee for your life. Don't hold on anymore. It's just going to end in destruction. Turn to God in repentance and faith today. Don't be like Lot. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these examples, these things are written for our admonition, for our learning, that we don't repeat the same mistakes that others have made. And Father, I pray this morning that if the Spirit of God is speaking to someone's heart today, maybe there's some things going on in their life that they're holding on to. Worldly things that are sinful things that are going to influence their family. It's going to take them down a devastating road. Father, I pray that you make it right today so that things are well between them and you. And I pray, Lord, also this morning for those who'd be with us without Christ today, maybe who've been resisting the call of God. Father, I pray that they would flee for their life, not hold on to their sin, and Father, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Accomplish your purpose now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.